Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. I encourage you to grab the pew Bible from in front of you and follow along with me as I read it. Or if you brought your own Bible with you, you can open that and follow along there. Hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, the disciples. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Well, as we said a little bit ago this morning, we mark and celebrate the birthday of the church. Not Northminster, but the church universal. It's the day God poured out his Holy Spirit on his followers. It's called Pentecost because it's the 50th day after Easter. We've spent the last 7 weeks pondering the implications and realities of the atoning work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Today, we turn our attention to see how the Holy Spirit is at work in and through us in the world around us. In today's passage, God fulfills the promise he made through Christ to send the Holy Spirit to his apostles. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit made an immediate and significant impact on not just the apostles, but also their entire community. Without question, God was in the house in a whole new way. As we work through Acts 2, we will see that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can follow the apostles in transforming our communities. Would you take a moment and pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that has opened our eyes, opened our ears, and given us understanding. Lord, this morning, as we celebrate the sending of your Spirit, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts ready to listen to the truths you have for us in your Word and by your Spirit. Lord, this morning, we would hear the soft sound of your Son's sandaled feet. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed how things have a habit of disappearing on us? I don't mean losing things, but things sitting in plain sight, how they just seem to disappear over a period of time. For example, as you drove to church this morning, I am sure most of you drove roads that you are very familiar with. You probably drive them multiple times a day. Along those roads are a wide variety of signs and billboards and business advertisements and whatnot. But they have most likely become so familiar to you that you quite literally don't see them anymore. They have effectively disappeared. Or maybe you suffer from the same thing I do. My wife will leave something on the counter for me to take care of, or she'll leave a honeydew list for me on the refrigerator. The other day, she asked me why I hadn't glued the picture frame yet. I said, "What picture frame?" She said, that picture frame sitting right in front of you. I am telling you, my wife is a magician. That picture frame materialized out of thin air at that moment. She is the daughter of a magician. She picked up a thing or two. It was amazing. I bring this up to you this morning because there is a sentence that appears in your bulletin every week that I suspect has probably pulled the same magic trick. We're so used to seeing it that it has effectively disappeared. But it's an important sentence, and it has direct bearing on our message today. It's awesome. Y'all are like looking at your bulletins going, what sentence is he talking about? You usually find this sentence on the cover of your bulletin, but today you find it at the top of the order of worship. The sentence reads, experiencing and sharing God's love to transform our homes, communities, and world. This isn't a nice, warm, fuzzy sentence that we whip together just to feel good. This is the church's mission statement. But it is really a summary of why we exist as not just a local congregation, but as Christians. Just a few verses before the passage that we read this morning, Jesus tells his followers, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." The power to bear witness, to experience and share God's love, comes from the Holy Spirit. And it is also the Holy Spirit that brings about the true transformation of our lives, our homes, our communities, and ultimately of our world. That transforming work happens today almost exactly the same way that it did back then on that first Pentecost Sunday almost 2,000 years ago. So let's take a closer look and see how this transformation happens and how we are invited to join the Holy Spirit in its work. A few years ago, I was studying this passage, and something stood out to me that I had never noticed before. Luke describes the coming of the Holy Spirit as a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, a sound that filled the whole house. Now, I don't know about you, if you grew up in the church, you've heard this story over and over and over again, and I don't know what you always envisioned, but I always imagined that this was something that only the 120 or so people that were present in the house experienced. It was a gift from God to them, and so they were really the only ones who were aware of it. But look at verse 6. When the God-fearing Jews in Jerusalem heard this sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, a crowd gathered in bewilderment. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes, even those outside the church know it. You see, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life and in the community of faith that sets us apart from the world around us. Not in a us against them kind of way, but set apart in that there's something different about them. There's something different about them that I want to know more about, kind of way. Notice the crowd's reaction. They were bewildered, amazed, perplexed. It was different than anything that they had ever seen or heard before. When the Holy Spirit comes into a community, when God is in the house, the grace of His presence naturally and immediately overflows into that community. This concept is called in Reformed theology, common grace. As Louis Burkhoff describes it, common grace curbs the destructive power of sin, maintains in a measure the moral order of the universe, thus making an orderly life possible, distributes in varying degrees gifts and talents among men, promotes the development of science and art, and showers untold blessings upon the children of men. The presence of the community of faith that lives in full submission to the Holy Spirit should and will have a noticeable impact on its community that will draw attention to it. So I think it's fair to ask the question, if we aren't having a significant and natural impact on our community, are we truly following the leading of the Holy Spirit? It's a hard question, but it's a question that I don't ask to pick on this congregation. It's a question that I think every church should be asking itself all the time, because we honestly need to explore it on a regular basis. As Brennan Manning once said, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world finds simply unbelievable. That, brothers and sisters, is the primary charge against the church by the coming generations. The next thing that I noticed in today's passage is how often Luke repeats one particular phrase. Notice verse 6. The crowd heard them speaking in their own language. Then verse 8. Each of us hears them in our own native language. And again, verse 11, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Not only did the community immediately notice the presence of the Spirit, but the Spirit enabled the believers to speak to the community in their own language. This is important, because it means that the Holy Spirit enables us to continue the ministry that Jesus began. Jesus came to where the people were. He never asked them to come to him. He didn't say they needed to clean up their act. He didn't tell them, hey, you've got to learn a new language so they could understand him. No, he gave up the glory of heaven to come to earth. Not to be received as a conquering king, but to live and walk with the hurting, the lost, the confused, the sick, the outcast. He brought a message of reconciliation with God that had never been heard before, and then did the impossible that only God could do to see to it that that reconciliation would actually happen. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are equipped, enabled, and called to that same mission. What's interesting, I think, in the story of Pentecost is how naturally the apostles entered into this mission. They don't hesitate. The Spirit comes, and they go. No strategy sessions, no long-term planning, no committees, and thankfully, no budget meetings. Okay, the Spirit's come, but can we really afford to do this? Do we budget for this line item in this year? Jesus said to wait for the gift of the Spirit and then go. And then the Spirit came, and they went. They went out into the streets and began declaring the wonders of God to the crowd in their own language. Now, there are some who believe that the tongues the apostles spoke with was a special language, the language of the angels, some might say. There are some churches that teach that you do not have the Holy Spirit unless you speak in these tongues. This, however, I believe, is an unfair and inappropriate application of this passage and a misunderstanding of the gift of tongues as Luke explains it. What good would it have done the crowd if they could not understand what the apostles were saying? And clearly they did understand, although they couldn't figure out why they could understand. And that leads to the third thing I noticed in the passage today. Twice, Luke goes to the effort to point out the crowd's response to what they were witnessing. In verse 6, we are told they came together in bewilderment. And then in verse 12, Luke tells us they were amazed and perplexed. Even though the gospel comes to us in our own language, the gospel is not always understood. Even Jesus himself ran into this and explained that it wasn't entirely accidental. He said, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving." Paul echoes this idea in his first letter to the Corinthians. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.'" In many cases, the proclamation of the gospel, the declaration of the wonders of God, leaves people confused. And frankly, grace is something that doesn't make sense to our culture. That we could receive something for nothing is the foolishness of God. Luke indicates that the crowd was confused because of three separate but related events. The first was the sound of the rushing wind that drew their attention in the first place. The second was the fact that the crowd, made up of people of entirely different nationalities, heard the apostles speaking in their own language. The third was the message that the apostles were speaking, declaring the wonders of God, as we just talked about. It is the combination of these three events, all related to the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that left the crowd amazed, bewildered, and perplexed. Luke tells us that the crowd responded to this confusion in two different ways. Some were confused, but they wanted to learn more. They wanted to understand. They said, "What does this mean? Teach us, help us to know." Others were confused and mocked and insulted the apostles, accusing them of being drunk. So much so that when Peter starts his sermon, he even says, "Come on, guys, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Who would be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning?" As we go forth, taking the gospel into our community, we can expect people to react the same way. Many won't understand, and some of them will want to know more, and others will mock and deride us. We would be wise to follow Peter's example. Even when mocked and ridiculed, he smiled, and he made light of it. As I said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then Peter goes on and he proclaims the gospel to them for all to hear. The end result of that message, well, I already told you earlier, about 3,000 were added to their number that day, from 120 to 3,000 in one day. It's not bad. The transformation of their lives and their community had begun. And it began by submitting to the lordship of Christ and the guidance and prompting of the Holy Spirit. On that one day, nearly 2,000 years ago, a transformation began with 120 lives that would end up impacting the entire world in just 200 or 300 years. What would Madison Heights and Amherst County look like if we were to submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in this church the same way the apostles did back then? Brothers and sisters, may God bless all of us as we continue to follow the example of the apostles and seek to submit to the power of the Holy Spirit and transform our communities. Amen. Would you please stand with me as we sing our closing hymn, number 295, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." Lord God, we do pray for your Spirit to breathe on us, to fill us, to overflow into the lives of those around us so all may see the wonders of your grace and ask, what does this mean? So that we can tell them that it means Jesus loves them. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.